Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. And we're at a point right now where we're coming to the end of this Collide series. And this is going to launch us into Romans next week. So far, we laid the foundation of standing firm in our faith when the world attempts to convince us of an entirely different value system. Then we talked about the importance of allowing God to transform our minds and from there our lives. Last week we talked about receiving truth from God's word while both holding on to it and while giving it away. Today, as we close out this series, I think standing firm in our faith has to include something very important. A very important four-letter word, and that word is love. We have to love what matters most. Days off are important in my life. I don't get a lot of them. But when I do take them, I have to protect them. Most generally, that day is Monday. And that's primarily my day to leave my shoes off, curl up on the couch with the dog and with Rebecca, and do nothing. Sometimes it's watching movies. Sometimes it's reading a book. Sometimes it's sleeping. Sometimes we take a ride in a Jeep. But if I don't protect that day, it will quickly be overtaken. There are times when things come up when we have to make the decision as to whether or not I or we are going to do whatever that thing is that has been asked of us. There does come a time when we have to say, or when I have to say no to something. If you happen to be on the receiving end of that no, understand something vitally important. It's not personal. Nothing against you. Sometimes I just have to protect that day. Scripture talks seriously about the importance of choosing to spend time with God in order to grow in our love of Him. Because as we do, we will be drawn closer to Him rather than to the things of this world. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the Apostle John is writing. And here's what he has to say about this idea. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." John talks about a craving here in this passage. He says we're tempted to crave the things of the world. And this word lust is really an intense craving. I think that our first step in loving what matters is correcting the crave. And that's our first point. If you're taking notes in the back of your bulletin, is correct the crave. We've already highlighted some different worldly desires throughout this series, but John named some cravings for us that have to do with our flesh. He uses this phrase, lust of the flesh. And these are the things that physically satisfy us. They bring us physical pleasure. Like pizza. I love pizza. All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. Pizza tastes great. It doesn't agree with me. Maybe in some way you can relate to this idea of a physical pleasure, a lust of the flesh. Maybe it's food related. Maybe you have this intense lust of the flesh to eat pizza, as I do. Or to satisfy this lust of the flesh, maybe It's making him prop to trip to Bismarck to have some Chick-fil-A. Maybe you're tempted to keep going back to a website that satisfies you physically for about 5 minutes. Or you're tempted to respond to a lustful feeling that comes your way every time you start to scroll through social media. The desire for physical intimacy, physical connection, satisfy a hunger. They're not wrong desires. However, John says we're often tempted to fulfill these desires in the wrong places, in the wrong ways. John lists out some a craving for everyone that we see around us. Another way to say this would be the lust of the eyes, to see something that we think will be satisfying to us, and we want to satisfy this craving to be like what we see. A lot of things in this world look glamorous to us at first glance. Maybe your desire is to be famous. I don't know. Have your name well known. When I was playing ball back in high school, I wanted to be in the NBA. A 6'9" white kid should be in the NBA. That was my assumption. Really, it was a long shot that I really figured would never happen. But I still had the desire. And that desire was so great, every single time I had free time, there was a basketball in my hand. And I would work at improving my game. I would work in enhancing my endurance. And I would run and run and run and jump, you know, hoping that someday I might be the next Michael Jordan. Or at the very least, the next Christian Laettner. I would simulate game-winning shots. I would create aggressive dunks against invisible defenders, all pursuing a future of having my name on a scoreboard in some great arena somewhere, although at that time I preferred the United Center in Chicago. A lot of people in ministry have this side of them that they want to be celebratized for doing ministry work. Fame only looks glamorous before someone has it. Consider any celebrity. Although their fame has made them millions, they can't leave their house without being photographed and swarmed by fans. This kind of lifestyle isn't what it seems from our point of view. Celebrity pastors often find themselves bending to public opinion in order to keep that celebrity status. Then the celebrity status gets to them, and then they make questionable moral choices. The difficulty with the celebrity status is that the higher the pedestal someone is placed on, the more unstable it is. See, God knows once we get things like fame or status, they're not going to ultimately satisfy or fulfill us. But the good news is, they were never made to do that. There was only one thing made to satisfy our craving for deep, abiding intimacy and connection, and that is the love of God. I think God wants to correct our crave. He wants us to hunger after something more than this world could ever give us, and that's His love. And the way in which we find God's love is first by finding God. Our second point, find God's favor. Elsewhere in 1 John, we see that God is love. When we find Him, we find true love. In the verse that we read a few moments ago, we had to pay attention to how John ends this section. He says, the things of the world, even the world itself, will one day pass away. To close out his teaching, John says, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Let those words sink in for a moment. Everything in this world one day will pass away. Well, I wonder about illustrating this principle in some way. So, The best way that I can think of is let's make a list. Lists are fun. All right? Let's consider things of this world. What are some things of this world? Just shout it out. Silence. What?
Money.
Money. Okay. Somebody else said something.
The oceans.
Okay.
Cool wheels.
What's that?
Cool wheels.
That's the wheel.
Free car for Mike.
I know what you mean.
Beautiful homes.
Cats and dogs.
No.
Cats and dogs. Fame, right? We talked about that?
Yep.
Intimacy, we talked about that?
Fashion.
Whoops. It'd help if I could spell. Doesn't really matter. Anything else?
Houses. Yeah. Garages.
Mind your car.
Windows. Everything.
Cool. All right. Yeah, that's
piano.
Grand piano.
Grand piano?
9 foot.
Jeeps.
No.
Cool wheels, yeah.
Yeah.
Denver's car.
You know, cool wheels, you know, Jeeps, Camaros, Corvettes,
yeah.
Mustangs. Chargers, trucks, Lamborghini,
the General Lee.
That's a cool set of wheels. So here's the thing about all this stuff, okay? As we listed a bunch of stuff of the world, okay? But here's what John says is going to happen. It all passes away.
It's gone.
It's not going to last, right? There is only one thing that will last. What is that one thing that'll last? God's word. Right?
Yep.
It's a permanent marker. Make sure it's dry before I do this illustration, otherwise it fails. Okay, God's word.
It is very soft covers.
It's not going away. I broke my board. Thank goodness I only paid $1 for it. But it will never pass away, right? It's not gonna pass. Whoa. Knock my water over. Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Jesus says, one day, heaven and earth are both going to pass away, but God's word will last forever. All throughout Scripture, God shows us how to live as He desires us to live. The things that we are to say, the things that we are to do, the ways that we're supposed to act. It all comes down to the love we are to show to those who are around us. The world's love is conditional. Conditional love basically means that you are only showing love to those you believe deserve it. For instance, those who are in your family. Maybe those who agree with you on certain topics. Those who you would consider to be friends. Okay. Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, where we understand that all life, from conception to natural death, all has value. Every single one of them. You might have friends who disagree with you on that topic. Primarily, the focus of this day tends to be on the topic of abortion. The sanctity of human life is a much broader definition than just abortion. But the hot topic issue that is typically brought up on this day is the topic of abortion. You have a stance, most likely, against abortion. Your friends probably don't have that same stance. And even though they love you any other time of day, the moment that you bring up the idea that adoption is murder.
What?
Abortion is murder. Thank you for correcting me. Abortion is murder.
It's murder.
Thank you for correcting me. As soon as you mention that, that love ceases because you disagree with them on a particular topic, and they will become violent against you, using violent language. As soon as this is the idea of conditional love. As soon as someone wrongs you, disagrees with you, or says something rude to you, or causes you pain in some way, they're no longer worthy of your love. That's the world's definition of love. That is conditional love. The world has tried to rewrite the narrative of love, but God is the author of it. His love is unconditional. Do you know how I know it's unconditional? There's not a one of us who is in here who deserves to be loved by God. None of us. Not a one. As wonderful it is that Marcia was able to help somebody out at the convenience store today, as wonderful it is that she is such an encourager, she doesn't deserve God's love. As great of a piano player that Devon is, she is not deserving of God's love. As great of a job that Mike does teaching Sunday school regularly, consistently, effectively and efficiently, he is not deserving of God's love. Amen. If you're here every single week, you're not deserving of God's love. None of us are. But he loves us. In Romans 3:23, Paul tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And with all of this being true, God decided to show us love, grace, and mercy anyway. Why? Because we're made in his image. He's already made the decision to love us. The only question that's left, will we make the decision to love him back? The third point is that it's a daily decision. A lot of people believe that once you pray the sinner's prayer and invite Jesus to be king of your heart and your life, you're good to go. You know this whole get out of hell free card. I think we need to understand that the decision to follow Jesus with our lives has to be made every single day. Sometimes multiple times a day. Because every day, we will be confronted with innumerable worldly temptations to give our lives to something else. John knew that we would be confronted with these. Jesus knew we would be confronted with these. But he gave us his word as a guide. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves every day. Do the decisions I make align with the word of God? And do my actions reflect that I'm a disciple of Christ? God sent his one and only Son into the world to redeem the lost. You say that Jesus was sent on a collision course with the world. His desire, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, is this: the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But we so easily go astray and we get distracted. The negative and the lifeless messaging of the world is incessant, pervasive, and enticing. If we are able to make a conscious decision to each day say no to the things of this world, and say yes to the love of God and the things of God, we will be able to live the fruitful and the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us. If we will invest in the Word, invest in fellowship, invest in Christ-centered teaching, in prayer, then we can renew our minds with the things of the kingdom of God. When you find that the world's values collide with the kingdom values in your life, will you make the decision to choose the path of Jesus? This would be the right answer. So what are some minor adjustments that you can make in your life right now that will have a major impact on your life next year or 2 years from now or 5 years from now. What's that? Shouldn't repeat it. Okay. No, that's okay. How about spending daily time in the Word? But being part of our Wednesday night and Sunday night studies.
Spending time in His Word, you grow near Him.
Yeah, right. How do you develop any relationship that you ever have with someone? You spend time with them, right? Your relationship's never going to get closer if you don't talk to each other, or hang out with each other. So we don't spend time with God, we end up falling further and further away from Him. If you're able, maybe volunteering. Spending time with a mentor, someone who can disciple you, walk alongside you as you continue to walk closer with the Lord. Maybe even getting rid of destructive habits and tendencies. Imagine this list can go on and on and on. The point is, there is space for you in the kingdom of God. Will you make space for the kingdom in you? That's our question to ponder on this morning. There's space for you in the kingdom of God. Will you make space for the kingdom in you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus, who came to redeem us, to come to save us, to set us free from the chains and the entanglements of sin. Lord, guide our paths that we would do these things that are going to draw us closer to you. Lord, as we desire to seek first the kingdom, let us look to you. Let us humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. Turn from our wicked ways. Lord, as we do that, you promise you will hear from us. You will heal our land. Father, we love you. Teach us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.